Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kovijana Palava Girivara Dhari. Yasuda Nandana Braja Chinarandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Swami, Savior of the World, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. ISKCON DVT Founder Chaya Srila Prabhupada Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Shishi Panchatattva Ki Jai. Shishi Sat Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. Sankirtan Jagya Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Samasundara. Shishi Krishna Balaram. Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. Nitago Primanandi. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Some of you, Prabhu's or Mataji's come a little closer. I need your moral support. I had a very, very difficult class assignment this morning. And, Gurangi, I think she could relate to this. There was a little bit of a glitch in the scheduling, so I end up isolated with a verse that has no purport. And it just so happens, I think you'll all agree when you read it, that it's not, it's not like, oh, well, I can make this philosophical point or that philosophical. You'll see, it's quite detailed, technical, esoteric verse. and no purport. So, so I'm not trying to make excuse, but please excuse me. I'll try to do the best I can. So we're in Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 8, Text 13. No purport. Hare Krishna. Tasyartam Sukshma Binivista Trishter Tasyarta sukshma bibinista trishter antar dato arto rajasa tanyan antar dato arto rajasa tanyan gunena Kala Nugatena Vidaha Gunena Kala Nugatena Vidaha Sushams Tata Vidyata Nabi Deshat Sushamstata bijyata nabi deshat. Tasyarta sukshma bivinista trishter. Antarga torto dacha satanian. Kunena kalanugatena vidaha. Sushams tata bijyata nabi deshat. Tasyarta sukshma bivinista drishter. Antarga torto dacha satanian. Gunena kalanugatena vidaha. Sushams tata bijyata nabi deshat. Try to follow the melody that the person who's giving the class has a melody, so it's always it's a very good idea to try to imitate the melody that is given by the person giving the class. If you can, then we'll get confused, but it's okay. Continue, please. The melody was Tasyarta Sukshma Bivinista Drishter. Anybody else?
Tasyarta Sukshma
Bivinista Drishter.
Tasyarta Sukshma
Bivinista Drishter. Atar Gator Tor Rajasataniyan.
Unena
Kala Unagatena Vidaha.
Tasyarta
sukshma bivinista drishter.
Antarga torto rajasataniyan. Kaniyam.
Tasyam,
his,
capital H, artha,
subject,
sukshmam,
subtle,
abhinivishtadrishte, of one whose attention was fixed, antagata, internal, artha,
purpose,
Rajasa, by the mode of passion of material nature. Taniyan,
very subtle.
Gunena,
by the qualities.
Kala anugatena, in due course of time.
Vidaha,
agitated.
Sushan,
generate.
Tada.
Then.
Abhidyata.
Pierced through.
Nabi
deshat. From the abdomen. All right. Translation. No purport. Translation. The subtle subject matter of creation, on which the Lord's attention was fixed, was agitated by the material mode of passion, and thus the subtle form of creation pierced through his abdomen. Please repeat. The subtle subject matter of creation, on which the Lord's attention was fixed, was agitated by the material mode of passion. And thus the subtle form of creation pierced through his abdomen. One thing we can mention right away, I don't even have in my notes, but I shouldn't forget this. At the beginning of the next translation, which also doesn't have a purport, it states, piercing through this sum total form of the fruit of activity of living entities took the shape of the bud of a lotus flower generated from the personality of Vishnu. So this is giving a definition of the subtle subject matter of creation on which the Lord's attention was fixed, which pierced through his abdomen. Sounds a little painful, but this is the process of creation of the universe, and the Lord doesn't mind some inconvenience to facilitate our necessities in the material world, including the option of misusing or properly using our free will. So here, what's piercing through is very interesting. It's the sum total form of the fruitive activities of living entities. So we individually, we don't have such power to actually be a player in major player in the act of creation, which is a very, very complicated and very extended subject matter. But collectively, all of us together, we make an impact, so much so that we actually pierce through the abdomen of the Lord. Radha Daksha Vishnu, in this case. All right, as we used to say back in New York, here goes nothing. All right, this is indeed a challenging assignment, no purport, and very esoteric subject matter, as I mentioned. One thing, just a word of appreciation for Srimad Bhagavatam and of course for Srila Prabhupada who stayed up in the wee hours of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, to translate and write his Bhaktivedanta purport. That we've given an amazingly extended and more detailed and we could say more scientific understanding of creation. We're not here to knock other people's religion, but we always hear the example of like pocket dictionaries and encyclopedia. So Prabhupada has given us a large amount of the encyclopedia of Vedic wisdom. And of course for Kali Yuga, the Srimad Bhagavatam hits the nail on the head for our needs, our need to be connected with Veda, Vedic literature and Vedic wisdom, but in a form that we're able to deal with and understand. If we go directly to the Vedas, it doesn't work very well in Kali Yuga. Even Ishvara Puri Maharaj told his divine disciple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're not qualified to study the Vedas, which is kind of a signal for our inability of Kali Yuga, in this Kali Yuga. So we should be very thankful that we compare it with what's like a pocket dictionary. We're not trying to in any way deprecate, but it's also a dictionary, but it's a pocket dictionary, whereas what we're getting here in the Bhagavatam is certainly an encyclopedia of spiritual knowledge, what to speak of all the other Vedic literatures, many of which also touch on the subject matter of creation. So we should be very thankful for that. The Christian idea, I'm not expert, but I think it basically boils down to 7 days, and the first day, let there be light, and then each day, 6 days actually, and God created this, and he created that, and he created this, and he created that. And on the seventh day, he had to take some rest. He was a little tired after the exertion of creating the material world. Now, aside from the fact that these world scriptures, this is in Kali Yuga, they're actually, anyway, I don't want to knock them or anything, but they, there is a verse in the Bhagavatam, I think in the 11th canto, where it says that just like a honeybee gets nectar from all flowers, the big flowers and small flowers, the expert devotee should be able to derive the essence of all religious scriptures, those that are bigger and smaller, expanded and less expanded. So you get that understanding of creation, but in a very, very generalized and summarized form, say in the Christian Bible. I think there's something similar in the Quran. Very, very abbreviated without really much detail. So we're very fortunate to have such detail, although it is a little bit daunting to try to get the big perspective of it. Should I mention this? That when I was in a child's body in the 1950s, there was a Wednesday we all went to, I think it was called General Assembly, and things were different in those days. The boys had to wear ties and the girls had to dress nicely, and we all got together on Wednesday, and very often they would show us some movie. So they had a movie one time, it was called Reasons for the Seasons. So they talked about things like 23 degree tilt on the Earth's axis, and that's a reason for the season. Yeah, it is. But basically they were just showing something about how the seasons work. But the why question, why is it like that? How did that come to be? How was that created? That's didn't touch it at all. So that was our limited introduction to, in this case, reasons for the seasons. So we have the answers to the why questions and much more detailed, even at the how question, much more detailed explanation, to put it mildly. So a disclaimer. I was not able to go deeply enough into the matter so as to put all the pieces together. But here are some, quote, pieces, unquote. My source material, aside from the Bhagavatam itself, consists of Stephen Knapp's, that's K-N-A-P-P, and I believe his initiated name is Nandanandana, somebody? Yeah, Nandanandana Prabhu. How the Universe Was Created and Our Place in It. Very long title in the book. It's quite a long book. As well as my own, I'll take a little of your time to select a few entries in this glossary that I compiled over the course of 30 years, from 1981 to 2010. Sanskrit, in some cases Bengali terms, will be in Sanskrit today, from Srila Prabhupada's purports. So I could just kind of throw out some ideas here. I wasn't able to put all the pieces together. Some of you might be more expert and more well-read in terms of this whole huge topic of creation. One thing that comes out today is that the subtle, and even the more subtle, there are two terms, there's shukshma, and then there's Taniyan. So the sukshma is subtle, and then we have taniyan, taking subtlety to the next level, very subtle. So the relationship between the subtle and the gross, the Bhagavad Gita references for this include, well, we have those verses that warn us about dhyayato vishyan Pum sham sangate sapujayate sangat sanjayate kamam kama krodha vijayate krodha babati samoha samohat smriti vi brahma udina shat udina sho. What is it? Udina shat pranashati. That whole downward spiral of what happens when we meditate on the object. So it starts off dhyayato vishayan pum sal. It's dhyayato, like meditating. So it starts off on a more subtle level. We always hear about, you know, when we first joined, we were warned, don't meditate on the object, because it goes from thinking, feeling, and willing. So we were warned about that. So those verses in Bhagavad Gita, 262 to 63, it gives us, indirectly, it's warning us about thinking, feeling, and willing. So it starts off subtle, and then buddhinasha pranashyati. When we used to, even Srila Prabhupada, he sometimes picked up, I think it was Brahmananda who came up with the term bloop. Prabhupada asked, oh, he mentions such and such, he blooped. Prabhupada even used that term, picking up from the devotees. Because one falls into the pool of material energy, one falls down, and when you drop a stone into a pond, it makes a sound. It's an onomatopoetic sound, and the sound that the word sounds like what it's indicating or designating. How is it? I know monopoetic. Yeah, I used to know it. So the word bloop is an example of that. It's a bloop, and that's the way, that's what the sound is, actually. So so we would say bloop, but it's a very, you know, sort of a slang way of saying falling into the ocean of material energy. There's something very profound happening. So, of course, back in the early days, earlier days as well, the center of Hare Krishna activity is all the temple. You had to, if you're not living in the temple, you're in Maya. And that may sound naive, but it was that's the stage we were at. There were no so much developed congregation members. And anyway, not to go into all the sociology of ISKCON, but this was just an example of the subtle versus the gross in very practical terms. Creation in this context is but a partial devastation of universes, universal universes. I assume this relates to a day of Lord Brahma and not to the presumptive partial devastation occurring after each Manu. That's controversial. Prabhupada even has a purport and he says that, that some acharyas they say there's a devastation, a partial, even more partial devastation as compared to after a day of Lord Brahma. There's also one after each Manu. And not all the acharyas are on the same page on that detail. So sometimes when you get to these little details, you'll find some interesting disagreements amongst the acharyas. It doesn't in any way undermine their authenticity. So there's a, anyway, I'm not so much trying to expand on every detail that I'm saying. So I'm assuming this, what we're hearing about is about the day of Lord Brahma. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, 17th chapter, verses 22 and 23, we hear something that gives us kind of an overview to get some kind of handle of what we're grappling with here. Prabhupada writes in the purport, actually. A summary of creation is given in this verse. From Shankarshan, Mahavishnu expands. And from Mahavishnu, Garbhodaksha Vishnu expands. Lord Brahma, who was born of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, as we all know, fathers Lord Shiva, from whom all the other demigods gradually evolved. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu are incarnations of the different material qualities. Lord Vishnu is actually above all material qualities, but he accepts control of Sattva-gun, the mode of goodness, to maintain the universe. Lord Brahma is born from the Mahatattva. Brahma creates the entire universe. Lord Vishnu maintains it, and Lord Shiva annihilates it. The Supreme Personality of Godhead controls all the most important demigods, especially Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, exactly as the owner of a bird controls it by binding it with a rope. Sometimes vultures are controlled in this way. I guess this is from Purple. Quoting something from that book by Nanda Nandana that I mentioned, quote, for his spiritual pastimes in the Vaikuntha realm, Lord Krishna has four original expansions, namely Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Mahavishnu is an expansion of Shankarshan. Garbhodakshai Vishnu is an expansion of Pradyumna. And Shirodakshai Vishnu is an expansion of Aniruddha. Another point about Shankarshan, which this aspect of the divinity appears in is the central point in this section of Bhagavatam, is that he's the original cause of the causal ocean. Causal ocean is spiritual. I always found the principle of the causal ocean to be rather mysterious. But the cause of the causal ocean is Shankarshan. This brings us back to Lord Balaram, and Shankarshan is the immediate expansion of Lord Balaram. And he lies on the bed of Sheshanaga, and he expands, and he's Lord Balaram is sometimes described as the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. He's non-different in most senses. He's non-different from Krishna. He's in the first expansion of Krishna. But his mood is one of service. So as Shankarshan, he expands and he becomes the chamara and the fan and the shoes and the so many different implements and paraphernalia for serving. He expands in all the ways to serve the Lord. So his mood is one of service. There's a lot of Nandanandana's book is very comprehensive, and there's a lot of further detail given that's quite relevant to today's verse even. I'll just read a few highlights I had here. This is also this Shankarshan, who is the original cause of the causal ocean, I mentioned, where Karana Dakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, sleeps while breathing out the seeds of innumerable universes. To summarize, another highlight here, for his spiritual pastimes in the Vaikuntha realm, Lord Krishna has four original expansions, namely Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Paduna, and Aniruddha. I read this already then. Mahavishnu's expansion of Shankarshan, etc. I'll read it again, because that's something we don't always fix on so much. That Mahavishnu is an expansion of Shankarshan, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu is an expansion of Pradyumna, and Shira Dakshai Vishnu is an expansion of Aniruddha. So these Purusha avatars, they're not original. They're expansions of Chaturvyuha. I have a godbrother, and I think he's still in New York. Some of you may know Chaturvyuha. I'm speaking about devotees, and this is a real interruption, but I don't think it was mentioned that another godbrother passed away. I think it was just yesterday. Tarun Krishna. I don't know if any of you know Tarun. Very, very colorful and jovial and entertaining personality. There are some very nice photos of him shared. All right, so here's another highlight I have here. He is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, mind, elements, material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord even, and that's equated, the universal form of the Lord is sometimes equated with Garbha Dakshai Vishnu himself, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. I put a note in here. So in other words, the Bharat here is equated with Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, just confirm. So, who is the he referred to here? Well, the Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu, Karana Dakshai Vishnu, is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord creating the material worlds. Let's see what else we have highlighted here. Simply by the glance of Mahavishnu, consciousness is created. I put another note here, and I was questioning, maybe you would have put the same note if you had this Kindle format, or you would write a note, that consciousness is created. It makes sense in a way, because during the time of partial or total annihilation, we're not really conscious. We're in a comatose state, isn't it? Comatose, like you go under anesthesia or something like that. You're really not, consciousness is not, there's not even dreaming. You're not dreaming when you're in the body of Mahavishnu or Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, depends on which type of annihilation is taking place. So it does make sense. But it does sound a little shocking that consciousness is created. Maybe we should say, well, I don't want to second guess what's in the Shastra, but we could also understand it as we create it, that the consciousness is always there, but it's in a dormant state when we're, say, during the total annihilation, we're in the body of Mahavishnu, and along with the material energy, which at that stage is called Pradhan, correct. Material energy is called Pradhan, and in the process of creation, Pradhan expands to Mahatattva. And when Lord Vishnu, sometimes it says he cast his glance on Pradhan, but normally we hear that he cast his glance on the Mahatattva. And when that happens, that glance is not just like our glance. That glance is laden, is richly endowed with all what is required for creation of the material universe. It includes our karma, and we're hearing about our karma, that collectively we put all the karma together of all the living entities, and it's capable of bursting through the abdomen of Garbha Daksha. So the karma is pretty influential, especially if you put it all together, you know, collective karma of everybody. I don't mean collective karma like, you know, conventional term, you know, in this material world as time goes by. I'm talking about in the creation context, the collective karma is what we're hearing about in these verses. So, yeah, consciousness is created in a sense of recreated. And then it's known as the Mahatattva. And the presiding deity of the Mahatattva is Lord Vasudeva, another expansion of Lord Krishna. I'm just throwing some potpourri. I hope it's not hodgepodge, although it's somehow connected. Time is considered to be the influence of the Supreme, and also causes the materially deluded living beings to fear death. So, time I am, kalosmi lokakshaya kritpravido lokan samahartam. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita identifies time as himself. I think it was either Thomas Aquinas or St. Augustine, I think it was Augustine, much earlier Christian church father. And he said, I always think I know what time is until someone asks me to explain it. So I think that goes for all of us, really. Time is quite mysterious. There's that verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, 29th chapter. It's an optional add-on verse that could be a Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada decided to include it in the Bhagavatam he left for us. And it describes that everything happening within time, which consists of past, present, and future, is nothing but a dream. This is the secret conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures. So it's interesting that Prabhupada wanted to give us that kind of heads up. Not that it's false. I'm not going to say false. But at the same time, it's certainly illusory. And it's in a sense of like, it's like a dream. So we hear about the dream of Mahavishnu. That's a big dream. From that dream, creation ensues. So we also have our microcosmic, our little dream. And that's, but in a sense, the whole universe is tantamount to a dream. Is it just a virtual reality? No, there's a lot of effort goes into, you hear all these personalities, Shankarshan and the different Vishnu expansions and just so much teamwork is going on as the whole creation ensues. And yet it's unreal, as described in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even the demigods are bewildered and they think the universe is real, although it is unreal. Now that's strong language, unreal. Srila Prabhupada would try to like put a little bit of a shock absorber on that, a little, you know, by saying that it's real, but it's temporary, illusory. But in other times, Prabhupada would say, if something is only temporary, then it's not actually real. So that's a whole discussion, what is real, what is reality. But the material world in general, merrily, 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 life is but a dream, you know. It's a dream condition. Or you can say virtual reality. We want substance in a press conference, not a few reporters at the airport. Mataji, would you like me to give you the microphone? Haribol, please, we're having a class. Thank you. Trying, anyway. I got thrown off. Where was it? What did I just say? No, just now. Yeah, I was on that subject, right? In a conversation with Shama Sundara Prabhu, I believe it was, they were having one of these philosophy dialogues. Shama Sundara tried to remind Srila Prabhupada, saying, it's real, but it's temporary. Now, that's an instance. It's not very common to hear Prabhupada speak in this way. But Srila Prabhupada actually says, if it's temporary, how could it be real? So then you can get back to Nashato Vijite Babo, Nababo Vijite 2.16 in Bhagavad Gita, that this kind of gives the ontology of Vedic wisdom. And that if something is real, it's not changing, it's not temporary. And something that's actually unreal, that's changing, that comes and goes. So a couple of more highlights here. It is the element of time which creates the agitation of the modes of nature, which thus brings forth the creation of all the other elements. It is also the absence of time and the modes of nature which later brings about the dissolution of the universe. Now you have to kind of put a caveat on this, because time doesn't really enter into the picture until Mahavishnu glances at the Mahatattva, because his glance includes different elements, one of which is time, one of which is this very powerful, we discussed this at some length, the collective karma of all living entities, all the jivas, that, of course, the conditioned souls, those who are in the material world, and they're all in the process of getting awoken. So that is also injected into the Mahatattva, the collective, the sum total of the karma of all the living entities, and super soul, and couple of other important fundamental entities are all injected into the Mahatattva by the glance of Mahavishnu, which is directly conveyed by Shambhu, which is an aspect of Lord Shiva. Thus, this Mahatattva is the junction of matter and spirit. This is Nandanandana Prabhu's language. The junction of matter and spirit, and he puts this in italics, the starting point from when spiritual energy begins to manifest or transform into the material creation. This means that matter comes from consciousness, not that life comes from a mixture of matter. One other highlight, and then I'll just spend a couple of minutes looking at a few terms in my glossary that I compiled. From the agitation of the original modes within the unmanifest material nature, of course that's pradana, the mahatattva arises. From the mahatattva comes the element of false ego, which divides into three aspects. This threefold false ego further manifests as the subtle forms of perception, as the senses, and as the gross sense objects. The generation of all these is called creation. So that's a very broad explanation of what was mentioned. Sounds fairly specific, but all of that together is called creation. Something about the mode of goodness. After the Supreme Being, these are all quotes from Nandanandana Prabhu. After the Supreme Being impregnates the material nature with his potency, it then becomes agitated by the destinations of the conditioned souls and delivers the sum total of the cosmic intelligence known as Hiranmaya. So there's a vocabulary word for us, Hiranmaya. Now this relates to the general point, not so general, of how the material, the Mahatattva is in a state of, the modes are in a state of equilibrium. They don't do anything because they're completely balanced. There's nothing happening, there's no agitation. But with the glance of Mahavishnu, I guess we get the credit or we get the blame for all kinds of stuff to start happening. We have a lot to do with it collectively because of the karma of all the living entities, that's the conditioned souls, that is, that is injected into the Mahatattva. That causes the three modes to become no longer balanced. When they're completely balanced, they're inert. There's nothing going on because there's no dynamic activity. We hear in Bhagavad Gita how the modes are always competing for supremacy. Sometimes the mode of ignorance dominates passion and goodness. Sometimes goodness dominates passion and ignorance, etc. So this imbalance, this agitation due to now the modes of nature become imbalanced because the collective karma of all the living entities that were, you know, wound up in either body of Mahavishnu, total annihilation, and the body of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, partial annihilation, they cause this dynamic activity in the Mahatattva. All right, let me switch over. There's a lot of very rich quotes. I do recommend that book called The How the Universe Was Created and Our Place in the Universe. It's a very long title, but it's very descriptive also. So these are just, again, if you want to be kind, you'll call it a potpourri, or just a mix of different terms. If you want to be a little more critical, you'll call it a hodgepodge of different terms under creation. The glossary is divided into about 11, 12 different general categories, one of which is creation. And many, many terms in that category, just to pick out a few which are more relevant to the subject matter of this verse. And also, again, a caveat and an apology that I was not able to I find enough time to really do justice to today's specific verse, especially because there was no purport. But I really, other more erudite students, they would perhaps have been able to deal very, very specifically with what we're the stopping point, which is today's verse. So sorry about that. Creation. So I have over 100 references for creation, and these are mostly from Prabhupada's purports. And sometimes Prabhupada would even say, the word such and such is very important in this verse. Okay, write it down. Prabhupada said the word is important. I wrote it down to be included in the glossary, which I think makes sense. So we just picked out a few here. One is Eka Narayana Asi. This is from Shruti, quoted at 4.24.63 in Bhagavatam purport. Before the creation, there was only Narayan. The context is from the song sung by Lord Shiva. Okay, another one I have circled here is Jiva Maya. This is from Srila Jiva Goswami, quoted at Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 5.28 purport. Energies acting in relation to living beings, that's what it means. Jiva Maya means energies that act in relationship to us. First of all, Sri equals energy of Godhead that maintains the cosmic manifestation. Bhu, B-H-U, creative energy of cosmic manifestation. So, it's the next time somebody wants to scare you and they say Bhu, just add an H to it and you can remember creation, cosmos. The next one is Nila, Durga, the energy that destroys the creation. Well, let's be kind to Durga. Maybe I hope she'll be kind to us, is that she not only destroys, but also creates and maintains. Shristi stati palaya sadhana shakti. But here the destructive aspect is mentioned. These three serve at Lord Narayan's lotus feet. The context is the glories of Nityananda Ram. Again, that's a quote from cited in Chaitanya Charitamrita. All right, we're getting there. Another one is Keshava, exclamation point. Tuya Jagata Vichitra. So usually there's no exclamation points in Sanskrit, but somehow this is an exception. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, a quote from his song, given at Srimad Bhagavatam 8.2.6 purport. I don't have time every time to say 8th canto, 2nd chapter, 6th verse. So if I use this abbreviated form, you all understand what I'm referring to. So it's 8 point, where was it? 8.2.6. And what is the translation? My Lord Keshava, your creation is colorful and full of varieties. The context is Mount Trikuta's heavenly natural opulence. This is in the Gajendra Leela. Here's a scary one. This is from Bhagavatam purport. 6.5.8, 6.5.19. One disclaimer is that my references in the glossary are anything, but in many cases a given term would appear in many places, but I just picked out the one that I found. Shura Pavyati Svayam Brahmi, an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts, explained as eternal time, the Kala Chakra. The context is Narada's instructions to the Haryaspas. Maha Abjam. This is from 7.9.33. I guess not usually, I would take a term just from the verses themselves instead of the purport. This means the great lotus of the worlds. The context is Prahlad pacifies the Lord with his prayer. Nimitamatram evaso sri janam sarga karmani pradana karani bhuta yato vai srija shaktayaha. This is the Vedic smriti quoted in Bhagavad Gita 4.14. In the material creation, the Lord is only the supreme cause. The immediate cause is material nature by which the cosmic manifestation is made visible. Just a couple more. This is an alphabetical order in each category of creation. Now we're up to P. Prabhuda apa bhadam. Okay, now let's not take this the wrong way. In one sense, we agree with the Bible that after creation, the Lord said, and this is good, you know, the creation is good. But there's also a negative assessment of the material creation. And here it is, that one. This is called Prabuddha Apalabdham, means rejected by the learning. Therefore, even though this world is difficult to understand, we should still reject it. We should try to learn about it, but ultimately we should reject it, following in the footsteps of those who are actually in knowledge. Sometimes we get accused that we are an otherworldly religion. I know my mother used to scold me for that. You know, always talking about death and reincarnation and all these highfalutin topics. But there's so much work that needs to be done in this world. There's so much injustice. You know, be more of this world. All right, but the material world is actually rejected by learning, says here. Therefore, even though we're following the footsteps of those who are actually in knowledge, and then I wrote myself here, however, we don't, you know, the yukta vairagya, we can use the things in the material world to be connected with Krishna, then yukta vairagya, it's all very, very acceptable and actually gives us more opportunity for devotional service, yukta vairagya, deeper renunciation of the world. Supto hita naya, from 1.10.21 purport, it's all Bhagavatam. Awakening from sleep and again engaging in one's respective continuous duty. This refers to the emerging of living entities from the body of Mahavishnu after the period of total annihilation. So we emerge, we're injected into the Mahatattva, and then we have full facility to resume our different activities, whether pious or impious or whatever we were. There's some more, but I'm out of time. Does anyone want to give me any feedback or any comment or question? Thank you all for your patience. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.